Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to the Intelligent Design the Future podcast. As promised, we once again have with us Dr. James Lefanu, author of the book, Why Us? How Science Has Rediscovered the Mystery of Ourselves, published in 2009, just recently by Pantheon Books. If you've been listening to the other two podcasts, Dr. Lefanu is a medical doctor who did his studies in medicine at Cambridge University and the Royal London Hospital. He went on to have a career in hospital medicine, but had other intellectual interests. He actually stopped doing hospital medicine and retrained as a family physician, but he has other interests as well, in that he's a writer for a number of British news media, including the Sunday and Daily Telegraph. He has contributed reviews and articles to the New Statesman, Spectator, and GQ, as well as the British Medical Journal and the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine. He's written a number of articles as well as other books, including The Rise and Fall of Modern Medicine, which won the Los Angeles Book Prize Award in 2001. His latest book, as we're going to be talking about in this final podcast, is titled Why Us? How Science Rediscovered the Mystery of Ourselves, again published just this year by Pantheon Books. So, Dr. Lefanu, thanks again for joining us for another podcast here.
Hello again.
Well, the topic that we didn't quite get to in the previous podcast that I really wanted our listeners to be able to hear from you on, because I think it's sort of the culmination of all of this, is the topic of whether materialism and materialistic scientific explanations are sufficient to account for the human mind and what we experience as humans in our mental existence. And so I think I want to get into that right now as this final topic of your book. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
How do you get from the electrochemical activity of the brain to the richness of the human mind? And in a sense, it's a part of the common sense of mankind to recognize, you know, that these things are different, you know, that the material brain is material, and that what goes on in the mind is, in a sense, non-material. Our thoughts, our feelings, our imaginings, our hopes and fears, and so on and so on, these, as it were, don't belong to the material world. And the line, you know, and obviously the conventional explanation has been within the scientific materialist view, is that ultimately, nonetheless, one can explain the non-material mind in terms of the workings of the material brain. Or to put it around the other way, that somehow or other the non-material attributes of the mind, reason, imagination, thoughts and so on, are an epiphenomenon, arise out of the complexities of the brain. And what has become very clear from the recent findings of neuroscience, particularly these incredibly impressive brain scanning techniques, is that that's not the case. That actually, just as you can't get from genes to the form of the living world, you can't get from the electrochemistry of the brain to the mind, and in quite specific ways. So that, for example, we all know that different bits of the brain do different things. You know, the visual cortex of the back, responsible for vision, and the auditory cortex on the side is responsible for hearing, and so on and so on. But it's become quite clear that this umbilical gulf between, as it were, these different parts of the brain, all of which are anatomically very similar, all of which are structurally very similar, all of which are exactly this, are composed of the same sort of chemicals, and the completely different subjective experience, which is involved in looking at something or hearing something.
You mentioned that there are five things that materialist science cannot tell us about the mind. Could you summarize those for us briefly?
First, that it can't account for the phenomenon of subjective experience, how we see the sky as being blue and trees as being green, and how we hear birds singing and Bach sonata on the radio and so on. So that's the first. That's the mystery of subjective experience. We don't know how you make that. Then the second carbon mystery is that of free will, how it is that our non-material thoughts influence the actions, you know, how it is we decide to do something of our own volition. And the third carbon mystery is the mystery of memory, how it is that we store these things in our brain for 40 years and recall them at will, instantaneously. And the fourth carbon mystery is the mystery of reason and imagination, and what is the basis of the human powers of reason, how it is that we distinguish a banal thought from a profound one. What is the nature of truth and distinguish it from falsehood? And the fifth cardinal mystery is the mystery of that sense of self that we all have of each other, of ourselves, and that we recognize in others, of personality and character and who we are, and how astonishingly our non-material sense of self is actually the most real thing that we know, and that it changes over time. As our personalities and characters change over time, we become mature and wiser, we hope, but essentially remains the same. And those five cardinal mysteries are, as it were, the five things that science can't get at. But although they're mysteries to science, they are certainly not to ourselves. They are actually the most certain things that we know. Sure, the dissonance between, you know, what it is that we can know of ourselves of our own account, but which science can tell us nothing about. Actually, our own feelings and thoughts about things, in this particular relation to this, are more important than science. You know, one tends to defer to science because you think, you know, scientists are clever and they deal in sort of objective and reliable truth. But on this particular question, they can tell us nothing. The extraordinary phenomenon of the human mind and of our exceptional powers of reason and creativity and imagination, they fall outside any scientific account, and they obviously, they fall outside an evolutionary account. They lie beyond the powers of, you know, and what one recognizes again is, as it were, something which has been a fundamental principle of Western philosophy for 2,500 years, which is the nature of human exceptionality. We stand outside the natural world. And we are not just a mystery to ourselves. We are the central mystery of the universe. What are we doing here? And one's answer to that, you know, come not from science, but it comes from philosophy and theology.
Well, Dr. Lefanu, thank you very much for this absolutely intriguing discussion of the materialist ability to account for the human mind and the nature of the human mind and how that really just perplexes modern science. I think that your book is one that our listeners will absolutely want to read. It's titled Why Us? How Science Rediscovered the Mystery of Ourselves by Dr. James Lefanu, published in 2009 by Pantheon Books, available on Amazon.com. And I assume that you will be writing about this topic more in the future, I would presume, Dr. Lefanu.
Well, I certainly hope so. So, yes, I mean, this is an incredibly unbelievably important and exciting time, great period of intellectual ferment, and we live, you know, in very interesting times.
Well, we certainly hope that you will write more on this. Perhaps after the scientific community comes out and reviews your book, you'll title your sequel Why Me instead of Why Us. I don't know, but actually, I hope you get great reviews. This is an absolutely fascinating book, and again, listeners, it's titled Why Us? How Science Rediscovered the Mystery of Ourselves by Dr. James Lefanu. Thank you so much for being on the show with us and doing these podcasts.
My great pleasure. It's been very enjoyable talking to you. Thanks for asking me.
Well, this is Casey Luskin. Stay tuned for more on the ID the Future podcast. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.